Today we're continuing our series on studying the Word of God. 2 weeks ago we began the series, and we began by reminding each one of us that the Holy Spirit is required. The Holy Spirit is required to understand and interpret God's holy word properly. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it reminds us that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. We must have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is required. The next thing that we looked at last week was that prayer was essential. We looked at a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, a thanksgiving prayer, that prayed not only that knowledge would be revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, but the eyes of our heart would also be enlightened. It's where head and heart come together in a passionate pursuit to understand God's holy word in the way it was intended. And that leads us to today's message, in that context is everything. So if you have your Bible, please join me in turning to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 6 through 10. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. What's really interesting about this text is this text reveals what we're kind of studying. And so it's kind of a topical slash exegetical sermon all kind of knit together. It's really quite a powerful thing. Understanding the gospel is something that is really, really important. And unfortunately, as has been talked about earlier and as Mike made clear, a lot of people like to add to or take away from the gospel of Christ. In the context of our text, it is purely focusing on the new covenant in Christ Jesus and that we are saved by grace through faith alone, period. Can anybody say amen? The people who came in, these false teachers, after Paul had revealed the true, pure gospel, they came in and they preached Jesus and. And we don't preach Jesus and, do we? We preach Jesus alone. And so if you would please, in reverence for God's holy word and respect, would you please stand if you are able at the reading of God's holy word, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, reading 6 through 10, I'm sorry, reading in Christ's name. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Lord, I thank you for this text and this profound, strong statement as the Apostle Paul was carried along by the Holy Spirit to pen our text. May every word that proceeds from my mouth be from you and not from me. In Jesus, I pray that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. And all of God's people said, you may be seated. And so why is context important? You've heard the old joke. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. As Paul says some strong things, I am astonished, he says. It's overwhelming to him. He's like, what in the world is going on in Galatia? And so you've heard the old saying that if you take the text out of the context, all you're left with is a con. If you take the text out of the context, all you're left with is a con. There are many people, and unfortunately, even within the body of Christ, that cherry-pick certain sermons out of their context and use it for their own agenda and use it for their own ideology. And this is what this text and this sermon is warning us against. It's really, really important to understand the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the pinnacle of what Holy Scripture reveals to us. Jesus Christ came, lived the perfect life that we could not, paid for the totality of our sin on the cross of Christ, and 3 days later rose again from the dead because we serve a risen and living Savior who is Christ the Lord. Can anybody say amen? All of the scripture from Genesis to Revelation point to this culmination of what Christ would accomplish, has accomplished, and what will be accomplished through his life, death, and resurrection. Salvation in the new covenant of Christ Jesus has been established. Can anybody say amen? That new covenant is we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Period. Amen? We are not saved by grace through faith in Christ and. There's no and. But as Jesus promised, he will also come again to judge the living and the dead. That is our great hope as well. Paul, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. So are they deserting God's word in that first line, or are they deserting God himself? Think about that. It doesn't say they're deserting the word, they're deserting God himself. Because God's word reveals his character. Now, is the Bible easy to understand? No, it's not. And there are several tools that we can use to study God's word. I very rarely, almost if never, ever endorse anything from the pulpit. But if you look on the back of your sermon notes, you'll see a little note. All the sermon notes that are on there are from the Concordia Study Bible. I do highly recommend and endorse that study Bible. It's very accurately done as much as human beings can. It's one of the better study Bibles out there, if not one of the best. The other one is one that a lot of people haven't heard of before, and I know that might sound scary to you, but it's called the Literary Study Bible. And what I love about this book, it's written by a guy named Leland Reich and Philip Graham, and all they tell you about is what's in the text. They don't go down theological systematics or anything like that. It's not about this particular denominational doctrine or this denominational doctrine. It just literally says what's in the text. And I love this. I use it actually a lot in Bible studies. So those are two tools I use. The thing I want to stress to you is this, that as we remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit is required, can everybody say required? That prayer is essential. Can everybody say essential? Context is everything. We need help. If you believe, and I'm going to say this, and it's kind of a strong statement, but I say it in love and grace. If you believe that you can, by yourself, understand all of Scripture alone, you are foolish and arrogant. Got really quiet in here, didn't it? But seriously, I use tools all the time. I did study Greek and I did study Hebrew, but I don't know enough about Hebrew to just pull up the Hebrew itself and just start going through it. I do need tools and I need help. I constantly use tools to understand the original intended meaning of the text to its original audience. Why? Because that's how God chose to reveal the book. So oftentimes we take this book and we read it with modern Western eyes. The history books that we get in school are all in chronological order, right? And they kind of highlight the importance of that. This book is not done that way. It is an Eastern ancient book, and it is one of a kind, and we must bow before this book to understand it properly. And the only way we can do it is through the power of the Holy Spirit, praying that God enlightens our minds and our hearts, united together in a passionate pursuit to understand the context of whatever we're studying. Otherwise, we're taking God's word out of context and we're trying to say something that God did not say, either by removing something or adding something, as Mike so clearly established in the children's sermon. And so I say this with grace and mercy. As your pastor, don't think you can do this by yourself, please. God has given gifts to the church. It says in Ephesians 4, he's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I know some of you might not believe this, but I am God's gift to you. Oh, man. Man, couldn't I got something better? Can I give him back? No. But I love to study God's word. If you come across a text you don't understand, email me, call me. I love that. I love giving people the right tools to interpret God's word properly. Why? Because God is worthy. Amen? Isn't his word precious to us? In Isaiah chapter 66, it talks about those who fear God tremble before his word. When's the last time you trembled before the word of God? Not that you're afraid of it. Because I think sometimes we think that this Bible isn't as miraculous as the pillar of fire that Moses experienced. But can I tell you, it is absolutely just as miraculous as that? God has preserved it through the power of his Holy Spirit, and we should treasure this gift because it holds within it the pearl of great price, the salvation that Christ has come to provide. Amen? Treasure God's holy word. Tremble before it. Understand what we looked at a couple weeks ago in 2 Peter, that no interpretation of Scripture comes from the will of humanity or the power of humanity. It only and totally and entirely comes through the Holy Spirit and God's revelation through His Word. Amen? Holy Spirit is required. Prayer is essential. Context is everything. The next thing that we need to take a look at is we need to seek to understand the original meaning of the text to its original recipients. And so we read this, and if we pay attention to the words, you can kind of see that Paul is irritated, right? I wish you would be accursed. He says accursed twice. Now, if you read further on in the book, he actually asks the false teachers to emasculate themselves. I'm not going to go into that. Happy Father's Day. But these are some strong words. Why is Paul being so forward and so strong? Because it is important. Context is everything. These people were teaching Jesus and circumcision and other parts of the law must be followed to be saved. They were teaching Jesus and. Paul's like, no, we taught to you Jesus alone. Not these things of the law. These things of the law point toward God and His holiness. They don't save you. I don't know if you guys can remember, maybe a month or so ago, and we had a sermon, and I said only maybe once or twice that the law can never, ever, ever, never, ever, never save. Did I say never? The law can never, ever save. Even in the Old Testament, the law can never save. Paul talks about it in chapter 3, the law was added because of transgression. So it is indirectly attached to the old covenant of Abraham, the unconditional covenant, but it is not directly connected to it. It is indirectly connected to it. The law cannot save. It was added because of transgression. It reveals God's holiness. It reveals our need for salvation. And it brings order out of chaos in the midst of society. I'd love to keep talking about that, but I got to keep moving on or we're not going to get out of here ever. But seeking to understand this, so that's what was happening in the text. Your study notes on the back of your sermon notes say that. And so we're revealed of that. So then as we think about this, there's another sheet of paper in your bulletin. It's an inductive study sheet, which I lost mine. Here it is. And it asks some questions. As you study God's word, these questions are really, really good at understanding the context. I know this may sound simple, and some of you might be thinking, why is he teaching us this simple thing? Can I tell you that it's not as simple as you think it is? Can I ask you to be humble for maybe a moment that you may not know everything there is to know about studying God's word? Because I don't. And I need help all the time. I love the fact that I have seminary professors here, the dean of seminary, and multiple teachers in the first service and in the second service. Why? I love accountability because God's word is worthy. I want to be told when I get it wrong. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Especially if I am wrong. I bow before God's word. I've always told my kids, as a dad, if I teach you something that contradicts God's word, the word is always right and I am always wrong. Amen? Who's in the text? Paul, the Apostle Paul, and the Holy Spirit, because he's carrying him along. The triune God is always in the text. Jesus in the gospel is in the text. The leaders of the Church of Galatia are in the text, and that's it, and the readers. So who are we in the text? We're the readers, right? So we're kind of attached to the congregation in Galatia, correct? So that helps us to understand how to apply it then. Who are we in the text? What's happening in the text? People are distorting the gospel, right? People are distorting the gospel. What does God reveal about this to me? What is God revealing about himself? We never ask the question, oh, what does this verse mean to you? We're sinners, right? We always ask, what is God revealing about himself? And what is God revealing about me? God is revealing that he has given his one and only son and that the purity of the gospel is extremely important to him. Amen? This is God's holy word. God wouldn't allow such strong language in his holy word if it were not important to him. He allowed the word accursed and emasculate to be placed in his holy word for us to understand the importance of the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's important. And so what did God reveal about himself? That this is important to him. That the gospel is important to him. What does it reveal about me? That the gospel should be important about to me too. Right? How do I apply it? Can I express the gospel of Christ accurately? Do I really know how to express that we are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ Jesus? And can I tell you that as I've studied for years, and I know the seminary pastors and teachers would say the same thing, they would say, do you know everything there is to know about the gospel? And all of us should answer a whopping, really loud, no. And that's the privilege of being a teacher of God's holy word, is that you continually are learning about what God has done through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We are not to distort, we are not to add or take away from what God's holy word states. And in particular, our text is dealing directly that we are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ. Because when the Son sets you free, you are
free.
Yes, amen. And so Paul is very passionate about this. He's very irritated by this. We also should be passionate about understanding the purity of the saving gospel of Christ. Can anybody say amen? Last thing we're going to talk about is to seek to identify the primary point, or what some people call the big idea of the text. You could even call the subject of the sentences, and looking at the subject of the sentences can often reveal that. Identify the primary point of the text and its application to you. And so in verse 10, Paul kind of is like bringing it together, and he starts to go on in his argument, and he's like, am I pleasing man or am I pleasing God? I loved Mike's illustration, because a lot of pastors in seeking to try to be relevant to today's society will add or take away or avoid certain things in Scripture. That's not the holy word of God. It's not the full counsel of God. I just find it interesting that the purity of the gospel is really the key catalyst to church growth in America. But we ignore that. Thomas Rainer wrote a great book on insights from the formerly unchurched. And he interviewed 1,000 people who had never been in church ever as a child, went to church and stayed in church. And the number one reason was the purity of the teaching of God's holy word. Why do we try to be relevant when we have the most relevant book in the world? It's just kind of interesting to me. And so as we ask these questions, how do I apply this to our life? You know, I kind of did the work for you, and here's how we apply it. Number one, beware of those who distort the saving gospel of Christ. Can anybody say amen? Paul said, let them be accursed. He then said later on, let them emasculate themselves. Strong language. The purity of the gospel is extremely important. I'm really not trying to be crude. This is in the Word of God. Therefore, it is important. Amen? Beware of those who distort the gospel of Christ. Also, the gospel is important, as we have established. Can I express it clearly? Can I express the gospel of Christ and the freedom of Christ Jesus clearly? If some of you are answering no, I would just really encourage you, as your pastor, seek a way to do it. Write it out. Carry it with you in your Bible. Put it on an index card. Use John 3:16. Use John chapter 1, verse 18. Use all of the wonderful scriptures that talk about Jesus revealed, the triune God, and his plan of salvation for the entire world. Amen? That we are saved by grace through faith alone. Period. That we are dead in our trespasses and sins. That's why I say these things over and over. That as a believer in Christ Jesus, it's not about what I do. It's about what I get to do. Right? Not because I have to, but because I get to. In the freedom of Christ Jesus. In those statements, it helps us to stay tethered to the purity of the saving gospel of Christ. Does God want us to live holy lives? He does, but you will not have him love you more if you do. The person who lives a righteous life and the person who's massively struggling with an addictive sin is loved equally by God. Does God want to free you from those bondage, those things of bondage in your life? He does, but he understands it's a process. That's why we need the body of Christ. And those who are more spiritual, if you're judging that person who's struggling with these sins, can I tell you that that's not the gospel either? Love your neighbor as yourself. Would you want to be condemned if you were struggling? Would someone come to you if you were struggling in a sin, come up and say, oh, you wretched person, you don't even deserve to be here? Is that the gospel? Is that loving your neighbor as yourself? Is walking in rejection and bigotry the gospel of Christ? No, it's not. Loving your neighbor as yourself is proclaiming the saving gospel of Christ with and without words. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No one can earn God's grace and mercy. No one deserves his grace and mercy. But he has freely given it to us. And those who are in Christ Jesus have the honor and the privilege of proclaiming the gospel of Christ and loving your neighbor as yourself with and without words, because Jesus is worthy. Not because we have to, but because Christ died for us. So what do we walk away with? Three things. Pretty much the title of all three sermons. Number one, the Holy Spirit is required. Can anybody say required? The Holy Spirit is required to understand and interpret God's word accurately. Number two, prayer is essential in understanding and interpreting God's holy word accurately. And today's big takeaway as part of our application, you already have that because I gave it to you. Beware of those who distort the gospel. Can you express the gospel of Christ clearly? Those are the things we apply to our life and take away and try to understand through the power of the Spirit to do that. But finally, also, context is everything in understanding and interpreting and applying God's holy word accurately and applying it to our lives. Amen? So, treasure God's word. Don't think you can do this by yourself. Be careful with the tools you choose, please. There are a lot of tools out there, but a lot of them are bad. Can I be honest with you? A lot of the study Bibles that are on the shelves aren't accurate. Why do they do it? For money. Don't think that money isn't involved in this. What's the number one selling book in the world? You don't think money and greed is involved in it? Be careful. Study God's word, choose your tools wisely, and use the gifts that God gave the church. Seminary teachers, professors, pastors, teachers that have the gift of the Holy Spirit to interpret God's word, and ask them in a humble way, I don't understand this, can you help me? What an honor and a privilege that is for me as a pastor. That's why I love confirmation so much. To see the light bulbs go off in these wonderful young people, it is such an exciting thing. And understand the why of God and Christ Jesus. The why of why we need him. The why of why he's done it. The why of why we have hope. All of those things are vitally important in building a foundation for God and his word. Amen? Pray with me, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you have given us the gift of the Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done. We thank you for the free gift of salvation in Christ Jesus. I pray that every single person under the sound of my voice would rest totally and entirely in the completed victory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I also pray that we would walk in the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit according to Christ's righteousness, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit as an act of worship to a holy God, that we would revere God's holy word as authoritative and inspired, and that we would understand that the Holy Spirit is required, that prayer before we study your word is essential, and that context is everything. May we honor Christ's salvation in honoring your holy word. And may we do so as an act of worship to a Savior who has paid it all, a Savior who is worthy. I pray this in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said,